Welcome.
Ray and Tay today, talking sports with friends.
Ray and Tay today, talking
sports. Sports radio on the dial. Check us out.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. You're listening to Ray and Tay today, and I'm Ray, Tall Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor. Give us a call. Join the show. Let's talk some sports. We got a lot to talk about. 718-664-9098. Like always, hit us up on the email, rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. Ray, we got some predictions coming in for the World Cup, so we'll talk about that with some of the, maybe read some of our emails, and have people hit us up at rayandtaytoday.com. Tweet at us at rayandtaytoday. Let them know King James is back. Let them know what we're talking about, Ray.
Oh, yeah. We got a lot of finals to talk about. We've got the NHL finals. We've got the NBA finals. We had the French Open finals over the weekend. We had the third leg of the Triple Crown. We've got some lawsuits going on. We've got some allegations of academic impropriety that are running rampant at our Tar Heel Nation over there. So, yeah, a lot of stuff to talk about. We got the Cleveland Cavs and the New York Knicks trying to entice people to be their head coaches with limited success so far. So, yeah, we've got a lot happening in the world of sports.
Well, let's jump right into it. And to jump off of what you were saying, right to the hoops, we got to congratulate. It happened after our show. Quinn Snyder is now the new head coach. Used to be at Mizzou, played at Duke, the new head coach for the Utah Jazz. I think probably a good hire and some fresh blood to see what happens with the Jazz. What do you think about it?
You know, he's an interesting guy because we remember him as players at Duke, and then he went to Missouri, and then he had some recruiting issues, and then he was sort of bounced out of college, and then he went to the pros. And, you know, I think Ty Corbin, you don't want to be the guy after the guy. You want to be the guy after the guy after
the
guy.
Yeah,
you know
Ty
I mean?
Didn't have a fair chance there, yeah.
Yeah, Jerry Sloan and Darren Williams didn't get along, and then eventually Darren Williams got moved, but Sloan already left, so Sloan wasn't going back. So Ty Corbin was really in a no-win situation. So, look, I like when teams are down if they come back, so I'm really rooting for Quinn Snyder and the Utah Jazz.
Yeah, no, definitely. And it looks like Phil Jackson's putting a full court press trying to get Derek Fisher. Let's hope that works out, because if not, then New York is just going to be a laughingstock and a mess. And the Cleveland Cavaliers, are they trying to get Big Blue Nation's head coach, John Calipari? What's going on?
Apparently, they offered him 8 years, $80
million.
$8 trillion. The guy to be the head of basketball operations and the head coach. And apparently they went strong after
brilliant.
Billy Donovan. And they may even have flirted with Tom Izzo. So they're going with a young coach. Calipari is particularly intriguing because of his connection to LeBron and because of the way he works with young kids and how he can recruit all those kids to Kentucky, so maybe they're thinking he could do the same in the pros. But apparently he turned them down. Life is good for him in Lexington.
Yeah, it's easy being the king, right, down there and being able to recruit the way he can. You know, he can potentially be at a Final Four every year. So we'll see if he leaves that. And Roy Williams sat down Saturday after the Rashard McCann's allegations, spoke to Jay Billis, and, you know, they had a thing today on Outside the Lines, and he refuted and denied McCann's reports, and I don't know where this is going to go. It's sort of like he said versus he said, but it's hard to believe, you know, they say, oh, 2005, like it's that long ago, but it's hard to believe that the school didn't know anything, even in 2005. We're not talking about 85. I mean, goodness sakes. But I guess we got to take Roy at his word, and we'll see how it plays out, I guess, with a thorough investigation. Definitely hurts the Tar Heel family, and we're big Tar Heel fans, so I hope everything works out. I mean, but you know, why now is the question.
Why now? And the truth of the matter is I believe every school – the problem is bigger than Carolina. I believe every school, major college athletics, there, if you start snooping around, there'll be some improprieties in the college football and college basketball programs. So I think that the problem is much bigger than that. But if what Rashad McCants is claiming is true, then, yeah, Carolina needs to be held accountable for it for sure.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, you know, we're not going to say they deserve a pass just because that's our favorite team. But it would just be interesting. It would definitely be interesting. So, listen, somebody was apologizing today because they were not on their best behavior when California Chrome Loss came in, actually tied for fourth in the Belmont Stakes, and congrats to Totalist for winning. No Triple Crown. It still stands for a firm. And, you know, there were some sour grapes from the owner. And, you know, of course, you know, he's apologized today. And what did you think of the whole thing? I mean, as it's going down, I'm like, uh-oh, stop talking. But I felt his pain. But at the same time, it's, you know what the race is. You know not every horse races all three races. So you got to live with what happens.
Yeah, we talked about this a little bit off air. I hear what he's saying. If this was the third leg of the Triple Crown and it's all about the Triple Crown. Now, it was all about the Triple Crown for him, California Chrome, because he would have got these unbelievable stud fees. But ultimately, each race is an independent race, and it always has been. So the fact that only three of the, 11 horses had run in all three races, so basically California Chrome and two others, that's nobody's fault, you know. Whoever owns a horse and is racing a horse and they just want to run the Belmont Stakes, that's their right. It's a mile-and-a-half course. It's longer than the other two. So maybe certain horses are bred and trained for this race. So I get what he's saying, but it's not all about the Triple Crown. So here's the thing. Once you don't win the Kentucky Derby, then only one horse is in it for the Triple Crown. That's why I think he was a little bit off the deep end because his analogy was awful. What did he say? I'm 6'2", and it's like me playing ball against somebody in a wheelchair?
Oh, I didn't hear that. Wow.
Oh, no, no. Oh, yeah. His analogy
he really lost
way,
it then.
Way off base.
Okay. I heard, and what was kind of like really off color is that he called them cowards, and that's not going to fly with anybody. So, you know, you got to be classy in victory and in defeat, and he kind of was not classy. He kind of was a jerk, and he apologized. So, you know, I will say this for California Chrome. You know, you felt for the horse, and you felt like California Chrome just didn't have enough gas, ran the best race, you know, that the horse could, and same with the jockey, you know, Victor. But you kind of – it's one of those things where you're like, you know what, it is a lot harder if you run all three races. I mean, it just is. And, you know, I don't know what we can do about it, but that's just how it goes, you know. And
there's
that's
a
what
reason
makes,
why this hasn't been
it's
won.
It's so special, exactly.
In so many years,
you have
30,
to be
what,
that
years.
Dominant. Yeah, no, that says a lot about a firm, and you know, and that's how it goes. So break down the French Open, man. Tell us, you know, what happened. And after Serena was out, I thought Sharapova would win, but break it down. What happened, man?
So it turns out that the French Open might have to be just renamed the Rafael Nadal Open because it's not even open. It's open and closed. Because this kid is unbelievable.
The Nadal Express.
Yeah. He's won five in a row, and now he's won his ninth French Open. I mean, think about that. This is a major. This is not some local tournament where he's the favorite. I mean, this is unbelievable. So Novak Djokovic is a great player. He just can't beat Nadal on clay. I mean, once you saw this matchup of the Titans, you're thinking on any other surface it would be closer, but on clay, that's just not happening. So Nadal is the man, and he took care of his business. And on the women's side, another repeat champion, winning her second, Maria Sharapova, against Halep, the young look, in tennis, they're all young, right? But she's 22, this girl from Romania, Halep. But both of these are defending champs. And you know what? It's good for tennis because the French Open is really the start of this three majors over the summer. You know, so everybody's getting juiced up for Wimbledon and, of course, the U.S. Open in August, end of August, early September, right around Labor Day. These are two worthy champions, Maria Sharapova and Nadal. But, you know, Nadal won his 14th major, which ties him with our boy Pete Sampras, and now he's only three behind Federer. If Federer
I think
done,
he's going to overtake Federer, and I don't think Federer can win anymore. But I got to say this. To be fair, Nadal needs to win at Wimbledon. He needs to get a Wimbledon.
Well, he's won them all, so it's not like he's never won a Wimbledon. He had that classic, four or five years ago.
Yeah, no, he
Federer.
But I mean, he only. You know what I'm saying? Look at how many
he
has.
He dominates the French.
Yeah, he dominates the French. And so you know, you kind of want to see one year. I don't know if it's possible for him to, you know, go ahead and, you know, at least win the French, Wimbledon, and the U.S. I mean, that would be – we'll see. But I don't think Federer will get another major. I just don't see it in him anymore.
You know what's
really
pretty cool? So your boy Andy Murray, you know how we were getting on him because he lost? He named Amélie Mauresmo as his coach. So I think that's pretty cool that a men's tennis player – names a woman as his coach. And now Andy Murray was coached by his mom growing up, but that's pretty cool. A former pro, you know.
He names
a woman as his coach. Good for him. Good for her.
Yeah, listen, you know, great tennis, and we've said this both for years, maybe some of the better tennis has been in the last decade on the women's side in some ways. So, you know, that shows you right there that there's no, hopefully no sexism there and, you know, to get, you know, hire a coach. We got to talk about one thing real quick, though. The NFL. Our boy was drafted in the baseball draft. Johnny Manziel drafted by the San Diego Padres. Last time played shortstop in high school, was recruited heavily as a junior and senior. You know, didn't play at all shortstop at Texas A&M, but kudos for Johnny. I don't know if he'll, you know, ever sign with the Padres. If they do sign him, he's, you know, theirs for 6 years just in case he doesn't want to play football. But I thought that was kind of cool. And, you know, what's fascinating is all this stuff, and they're going to be ruling, I think, in a couple of days on Jimmy Graham whether or not he's a tight end or a receiver. And he's listed as a tight end, so you're a tight end. I know he plays so much out in the slot, so if you're going to say anything, then you say he's a slot receiver. He's not like an outside receiver, but we'll see how that all plays out.
I have mixed feelings about that, though, because then what teams will do is they'll look at the money given to free agents or given to the top five players at your position, which is essentially what the franchise tag gets you, and they'll put their rising stars at positions that are cheaper. You know, they'll list a center as a guard or a tackle as a guard. You know what I mean? And so, if you know that this
you
guy,
you think
they'll
be that bad? I don't know. I mean, I know that they sometimes get whatever, but normally everybody plays.
You're right. I mean, most people play their position. Pretty obvious what position you play. If you're a running back, you're a running back. Nobody's going to think of you as a tight end. But there's those few cases when Jimmy Graham, for one, is an unbelievable. But then again, you know, it's funny because the team could come back and be like, wait a minute, but we expect tight ends to block, and you don't really block. You know, you're literally a pass-catching tight end. Look, I hope they sign a long-term contract and they put all this behind them. But this is going to be a major contention because it's the difference of $4 million. It's a big deal just by what you're tagged.
Yeah, no, definitely. And then the Steelers are saying, Big Ben was talking, that they're going to do a lot of hurry-up offense this year. So I'm excited about that in my Steeler land, baby. And Aaron Swift is all over Twitter.
Hold on, we got a caller. Maybe the caller wants to talk NBA, NFL, hockey.
Hello?
Yeah, maybe you can help patch the caller in.
We'll see. Carla, you on there? Welcome to Ray and Tay. Yep.
Oh, wonderful. It's very frustrating to be muted, gentlemen. There are two things I'd like to talk about if you have the time. One is apparently Derek Fisher is about to be named head coach of the Knicks imminently. So wouldn't mind hearing what you guys think about that and the trend of naming head coaches that don't even have assistant coach experience to be head coaches. Number two, maybe lost in the shuffle or minimized this weekend with all the great stuff going on is Manny Machado chucking his bat
yeah, we didn't get to that.
At a player on the field, and just the general touchiness of Major League Baseball players and their unwritten code and rules in the middle of an era where showboating is kind of almost universally accepted. So wouldn't mind discussing one or both of those.
All right, we'll do both. Is this Mike from L.A. who's now in New York?
Thanks very much. Wow, what, boy, you're very good with voices. Amazing.
So let me start with basketball, and then I'll let Tay chime in also, then we'll talk about baseball. You know, the interesting one was Jason Kidd last year, that no coaching experience, the season's barely over, and he gets a head coaching job. Once he did that, I think the ice was broken, because I think Doc Rivers and Mark Jackson at least were in the broadcast booth, and you could kind of – they auditioned every week. But the one that really blew my mind was Jason Kidd. Now, Derek Fisher – is odd, but it makes much more sense in the context of Phil needs a coach who's young, who wouldn't mind Phil in the middle of practice stepping in and you know, doing nuances of the triangle. So I think Phil really needs a Tyronn Lue, a Derek Fisher, maybe a Jimmy Clemens. So he's one of the few guys I think that would be – I can't see Derek Fisher coaching anywhere else but the Knicks, but – I guess the Knicks need him just like he needs the Knicks if he wants to be a coach.
If that's his aspiration, then I would say this is his best and first bet, because I don't think the Lakers would be inclined to hire him. I think a top-line franchise or a glamour franchise in the league usually can do a little bit better than someone completely unseasoned. But maybe the Knicks can't, because it's such a poison franchise regardless of Phil being there or not. I'm not sure.
That's not necessarily fair. I don't think you could say that.
I'm not a fair person.
No, I feel you. But look, the Lakers are kind of poison right now, because that Kobe contract for a couple years, whoever they get, the next coach is going to be – I mean, they were talking about Alvin Gentry.
I'd rather have Fisher over Alvin Gentry. By poison,
you know what I mean?
I don't mean the roster construction. I mean the ownership group.
Oh, definitely, without a doubt. I mean,
the Lakers' whole mantra is they just want to win, and they usually get out of their own way, even with Dr. Buss recently deceased. I don't need to get into Dolan and the Knicks, do I? I mean, that kind of speaks for itself.
No, we all know that. Let me say something about Fisher, though. I think, as we know, quarterbacks, point guards, catchers, I think the transformation, sometimes it could be very – easy or fluid. I think Fisher, we got to give him a chance, and I think his experience, not just with Phil, but on the court, just like Kidd, I think it will translate, and I think he'll also have the respect of the players, which is important, because Fisher's got some jewelry, and it wasn't just as like Bill Wennington, you know, Fisher earned his jewelry. So I think the players will respect him, and like Ray said, it's important to have that sort of, you know, the simpatico. I mean, you're going to have the two of them sort of, you know, not too many guys are going to want Phil barking, you know, in practice. And Fisher, I don't think he'll mind. You know, I think they have that respect and that relationship like a coach and point guard do. So I think it'll work. We got to talk about that baseball. Ray and I were headed there. Look, it's Manny Machado, but like you said, it's all these unwritten rules. And I think baseball is full of itself. And to be honest with you, and the ratings have slipped in the last couple years, and in America, basketball is about to be the number two sport. Baseball, sometimes, as much as we all love it growing up with it, it just is retarded, and it gets really stupid and childish. You know, Donaldson hit Machado, and he didn't like it. He just came off an injury. So, you know, you give him that. And then, you know, then they pitch at him and hit him. They brush him back.
Yeah.
He didn't tag him in his knees. I didn't get why Machado flipped out at the beginning.
No one can get it. I didn't see it live.
No, but I mean, he tagged him in the chest, but he came at him pretty hard.
Okay, but
oh,
the guy
I mean, look,
came off a knee injury.
Sensitive.
He didn't come off a rib injury.
It's not like he's a hockey player who just missed 40 games and he got checked below the waist or something. I mean, he just was
no,
tagged
no, no,
out.
I'm not, look, either way, he's like, hey, the tag was a little rough. He jumps up, says something to him. I think it's just instinctual if you feel like the tag was a little aggressive. I don't think it has anything to do with where the injury is. It's not about location. It's more about ego and, like, you tagged me and freaking pushed me over. But either way, he's not right. And neither is the Oakland A's and their team, which really got the last laugh because they put the smackdown on Baltimore, and the A's are on their way to, you know,
just,
cleaning house.
When you swing a bat like that and fling it, A, could have hit an ump, could have hit a player, could have hit a fan. I don't know. It's so
I think he should be suspended.
Crossing the line. That's just astounding.
Listen, if the commissioner had any – you know, had any David Stern in him, you know, he would give him at least 3 to 5 games. I would give him 3 to 5 games. He should be suspended for that.
He threw a bat. Like if you left your studio or your home or wherever you are right now and threw your bat 90 feet down the street, you'd probably spend the night in prison.
No, that's a great point. And you know, and back to your rules, right? I think this is one of the things that it would be interesting to do a poll of kids sort of in that the Twitter generation, right, 10 to 25. I wonder if this notion of unwritten rules, if you're not a baseball player, right, if you're just a casual fan, if this turns you on or turns you off from the sport. Because my guess is it'll start to turn people off.
Well, I'm sorry to cut you off. As it turns out, and I'd rather not reveal how, I sometimes have access to certain reports like that. And I happen to know it's a turn-off, not a turn-on, amongst casual fans who are below a certain age. The two things that are hurting – and by the way, baseball's national ratings hurting a little bit. Their regional ratings on the RSN level are very healthy. So it'll still take some time before, let's say, an NBA unseats it as a number two on a regional basis. But
globally, it's definitely heading there. Basketball's got so much more globally than baseball.
Oh, no doubt. And that has a lot to do with Stern and his forward thinking, and the whole marketing group at the NBA are amazing. So that's kind of a big turnoff, but the biggest turnoff is pace of play. And we all know that taking time between pitches and futzing around with your batting glove is boring, but it's getting much worse now because with the obsession with on-base percentage, which is winning baseball, you know, you want to get on base, that's great, but the pace of play has slowed to a halt. Batting averages are the lowest they've been in a very, very, very long time. And frankly, the best part of baseball is when the ball's in play. You can't see a home run. You can't see a diving catch. You can't see anything really but a stolen base that's exciting when a ball's not put in play. That's a major issue for them.
No, you're right. And it doesn't help that since 96, two of the slowest teams, probably the two slowest teams in Major League Baseball history, the Yankees and the Red Sox, have won 8 of the last 18 championships.
Yeah.
So it's winning baseball to slow it down, to get a lot of pitches, to break up the momentum. So that doesn't help anybody, right?
But that's
no,
you know what also needs to happen with baseball? I think at some point we've got to decide either DH or no DH. Because to have more increased interleague play and then to have this divide – It's asinine, and I think it's very bizarre for a young fan to even understand the history of it and everything. But we've got to make it one way or the other. And for all the purists, I get it. You know, hey, if you wanted the National League, then the American League needs to switch over. But then the players for the contracts, they're going to be like, hey, we want the DH because this guy can make a lot of money and play till he's like 49. So, you know, but whatever it is, they need to unify the game, especially because of how it's going.
I couldn't agree more. By the way, 5 years, $25 million for Derek Fisher, it looks like, which is insane. But that's a whole whatever.
Is he offer or has he verbally agreed to that?
It's the report from a certain company's insider.
Okay.
So going back to the DH thing, when I was younger, I used to hate the DH and wanted it to be uniform the other way. And now that I'm older, look, in a vacuum,
who wants
I still
to see
would
a pitcher bat, right?
I would love the DH to be gone. Well, I play softball. All I could do is hit now, so I sympathize or empathize. In a vacuum, I'd still rather see pitchers hit, but the reality is it's painful to watch 95% of the National League pitchers come to bat, let alone American League pitchers flail away, especially in a playoff setting or a World Series setting where everything's on the line and it completely messes with your strategy, et cetera. And I know it would impact roster construction and the union you know, doesn't love it, but I agree. There's no other sport where such a radical lineup difference clashes when teams from different leagues play. It'd be like in the NHL, you know, I don't even know what the parallel would be. In other sports, there's no punter in the NFC. The AFC does punt. Like,
Or you could, use like six wide receivers.
it's insane. And that, of course, the roster expansion in September is another bit of a pet peeve.
I'm with you on that. And you know what did it for me, Mike, was the fact that pitchers stopped hitting in college. So not only do you have, we're holding on to this legacy, and I used to be a big fan of the National League, and I wasn't a big fan of the DH, but about 10 or 15 years ago, pitchers in college just punted on hitting. So it's an art form, and it is not bunting, where you could say, okay, well, your 3, 4, 5, 6 hitters never bunt. I mean, this is crazy. So you have half of the pitchers in baseball come up to bat 2 to 3 times a game every 5 days, and they don't even work on this skill. It's not an art. It's half the game. Maybe for them it's not half the game, but it's a third of the game. And they just don't even work on it. They stopped working on it since high school. So I think, in that respect, get rid of it. It makes for a bad game.
So Mike, I would agree.
I gotta ask you real quick before we go, because we gotta preview this World Cup.
Yes.
NBA Finals.
Mm-hmm.
It's 1-1.
Yes.
LeBron didn't get to finish out that first game, but it's 1-1 now. Who's taking home the title?
I'm going with the Heat in 6 or 7.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know if I could fully substantiate why. Well, they're two really good teams. I guess as a team, the Spurs are the better team, moving the ball around and, you know, playing well amongst each other. But I always feel like when teams are evenly matched, the team with the best individual player will win. LeBron's the best player on the planet. And when he decides, like last night, that he's going to take over a quarter or two, it's pretty difficult to stop him. I think he was all 7 shots he hit in the second quarter last night were within 2 feet of the rim. And then I think
he went in a post at a rapid pace. It was amazing.
He just went nuts.
It was a beautiful basketball to watch. Yeah.
So and Bosch looks like he's into it, and you know he had a pretty decent game last night. So barring anything crazy with injuries or whatnot, I would take the Heat.
All right, great. Thanks for the Mike. A lot of fun.
Thanks, guys.
All right, Mike.
Talk to you soon.
Thanks for the call. Talk to you soon.
Well, to piggyback off of that, you know, Mike brought up some great points, and, you know, we sort of, you know, talked about those. But we got to get to both things. Tonight in New York, it's big. It's the Rangers. It's been 20 years. The Kings are tough, right? I picked the Rangers just hoping they could do it, but I thought they needed to steal one in L.A. They couldn't. I think they'll win tonight, but I got to admit, it's like they've beaten it out of me. The L.A. Kings are the better team, and I think that they'll probably win this series in 5 or 6.
See,
I just hope the Rangers can get
that.
A game.
I never have been in a series that's 2-0. I can't remember a series that's 2-0 that could have easily been 2-0 the other way. So to
it
me,
could have been,
all the Rangers
but they fought
need to
back
do,
like champs.
But the thing is, you don't go up 2-0 and not think that you're the better team. And they have the better goalie. I think Lundqvist is playing better than Jonathan Quick. It's just that they're just peppering him with shots, the Kings. So to me, it's psychological. Even though I picked the Kings to win in 6, I think the Rangers, if they can talk themselves into, hey, for most of these first 2 games,
we were
hockey game 60 minutes, right? We were the better team for 40 of the 60 minutes in both games. Then they can push this to a game 6 or game 7, and anything happens, you know, late.
But don't you
series.
Feel like but, almost like the Spurs, a little bit different, right? But almost like the Spurs, I just think there's so many guys. I mean, you know, Justin Williams, the whole slew of the guys. Quick gets clutch saves. The Rangers don't put enough pressure on them. But I just think whoever it is, somebody from the Kings will score and get it done. I mean,
yeah,
really, Mitchell, that
was so
a great assist/shot, and then Boone hit it in. But you know, they're clutch, and they keep coming in waves. Their third, fourth line has got threats on it. So we'll see. I picked the Rangers. I'm going to stick with them, but I think it might be over. I think they will win tonight. I'll take them, 4-3 tonight, but I think that, we'll see how that goes. Now, let's go to the finals before we get to this World Cup. Now, did you get any confirmation? Have you seen anything yet on the Derek Fisher? I mean, I'm sure
it's
happening.
Scoop. So he's
that's
the offer. Or at least that's what the media reports are. So
Phil
and Derek Fisher have a good enough relationship. Phil's going to Turkey apparently at the end of the week to see
I think
son
it's totally
going to
work
married.
Out. And yeah, I think it's totally going to work out. And it's the right hire, and it's smart, and it's what we talked about months ago with Jared Zuerling when he joined us from Bleacher Report, that it would have to be someone that runs the triangle. Yeah, a Phil disciple. So, hey, can they keep Melo? That's what we want to know. And you heard about this deal, Shumpert to the Thunder for a first-round pick, which is 21. I don't know if I want to trade Shumpert for that.
Yeah, Shumpert was about 21 himself, and at least he played in the pros.
Yeah, and you don't know what you're getting at 21, even in this draft. I don't know. But last night, and we spoke about this off air, I'm upset only with the fact that I feel like Spoelstra sometimes puts them at a disadvantage that makes them have to work harder than they need to win. And I think Haslam has to play more. He played 1 minute. I think that sometimes they give away too many easy baskets with putting their team in a disadvantage at size. There were so many offensive rebounds they were getting last night, an easy second chance point. I think the Spurs sort of shot themselves in the foot and could have won that game. But I also feel like the Heat could have been up 2-0 if LeBron would have been there. Because defensively, when him and Wade, when they want to put the clamp down on, and what usually happens, LeBron gets on Parker, and it's a wrap. And then they have to run the offense through Ginobili. And if Bellinelli or Danny Green's not hitting the threes, and Diaw's not scoring either, and Kawhi Leonard can't stay on the court because he's in foul trouble, it's done, and the Heat beat them. And that's just the reality of it, but I still think it would be a lot easier if Haslam played some more minutes, and maybe we'll see what happens in Miami. I do think, and I stick with my pick, the Heat are going to win, and I'd like to see if you think your Spurs are still going to win.
You know what? I'm scared as a Spurs supporter. Because when both teams are playing at their best, LeBron is obviously the best player, but he also disrupts San Antonio on both sides of the court, right? So he takes Tony Parker out of
the
game.
He's dangerous.
And what San Antonio is great at is movement and ball movement. And when LeBron's in there, he's able to disrupt that, and they're much quicker and much faster than any other team that San Antonio has played. So those passes, those skip passes, those cross-court passes, those entry passes were a lot easier to go from person to person, to go around, from the strong side to the weak side. You can't do that against the Heat. The Heat are just too quick and too athletic. So the Heat actually are able to disrupt San Antonio, unlike other teams, even more than Oklahoma City, because Oklahoma City did it at the rim and Russell Westbrook on the outside. But they've got three or four defenders who can give them trouble, starting with LeBron. So I'm a little bit worried, but the formula I still am sticking to, which is that it's 2-2 at the end of game four, and the winner of game five goes on to win game six, and it becomes a six-game series.
Ray Allen and Bosch are playing amazing, and I think what's good for the Heat is that as much as they might miss, and Battier is not really playing, but as much as they might miss Mike Miller, Ray Allen and Wade are healthy and energized, and Bosch has got his confidence. And
I want to know what Ray Allen's doing before the games. Is he drinking, Gatorade, Powerade? Is he taking
he's drinking
Leon,
that milk drink.
Yeah, some coconut water. What's he drinking? Because Ray Allen looks like he's about 6 or 7 years younger. Looks like Wright.
Playing fantastic.
When he got to Boston. I mean, he looks great.
Yeah, I think we got a caller. I think we got O on. Let's see. And I told O that the Heat would win. Oren, is that you?
Yes, it is, brothers. What's going on?
Good, man. How you doing?
I'm good, man. So let me give you guys a call. We had a great game.
LeBron James, baby. Bow down to the king.
One game.
What you mean? You ain't got no love? You ain't got no love for Death Row?
It's one game, 35 and 10 boards. You know, one thing I would say about
What did I say on the air? I pretty much called it, but I said 37, like 8 and 8. But I told you, he'd be right there.
I'm surprised he has to do that much for them to win only by two.
They
didn't
listen,
get much from their bench.
I don't know. You can't say it like that. But I'll tell you this, and you might agree with me, and I just said it on air and with Ray, I think the Heat allow the Spurs to play that close because of the fact that they don't play Haslam enough, and then you guys get so many easy baskets. Splitter only got two, but Duncan inside was having a meal ticket, getting, you know, extra snacks and offensive rebounds because of the fact that they're so undersized sometimes. I think if they play Haslam a little bit more, it might be a little bit harder for you.
I wouldn't agree with that. I think that they go for the knockout punch when they can. I think, you know, they want that three-peat. I will say one thing that Popovich has, his stubbornness is starting to show. You got to double-team LeBron from half court. Get it out of his hands. Everybody has to play Jordan. Let everybody else beat you. Or let everybody else beat you, but you have to D him up. And he would still get 20 or 30, but it would be a hard 20-30. And it would try to suffocate him. I think this
– It's a good point. I got to try
it. He's too good to be single covered. He's too good.
Especially because he's such a great passer. And Pop is like, oh, well, if we double-team him, he'll find an open man. But guess what? If you double-team him early, he won't have a chance to necessarily find such an open man. So that's a really good point. They might need to try that. But I don't think he will.
I think he's stubborn enough where he won't. I agree with you on that. But what they're doing is letting him break his man off the dribble. When he gets past one, then they'll collapse. And that's where all the open shooters are from. That's where he's able to find everybody. And once somebody comes to help, they leave their man. And that's what does it. You get him around the key, just D him up to get it out of his hands. And then you have to get it back to him. But at least it's burning out the clock. But you know what? I would say that this shows some grit. And, you know, you can't beat a squad when you're on the, you know, and I hate to feel like I have a dog in this fight. I'm not a fan of either team. I like to see good basketball. But you're not going to beat the two-time champion in sport three throws. You're not. Critical one.
Yeah, and the psychological impact was big, too, because I think they were up one at the time. They could have gone up five. So even if you make three out of four, you know, that you're starting to build up a little lead. But look, San Antonio's up one. Tony Parker gets stripped. San Antonio's up one with a minute and a half to go, right? So let's not pretend that the Heat dominated this game, and conversely, the Heat, you know, could have won the first game. So this series could be anything from, you know, 2-0 or 1-1 either way. So it is where it should be, right? These teams are so evenly matched. I still come down to – I think this is coming down to game five, and I think it'll be 2-2, and game five is the critical game.
You know, I don't even know if I know the game five percentages always pretty much dictate. But in this scenario, you know, I didn't think it was going to go seven, but I don't think it going anything. I think it's going to go seven games to the wire. A game just like we saw is going to decide. I think each game is going to decide like this. But one thing the Heat have to be grateful for, Rashard Lewis has been balling.
Balling.
Where has he been for the last 4 years?
It's amazing.
Yeah. You know, and you talk about he's been clutch inside, outside. You know, D-Wade is doing his. They don't have to even do that much because you got him, you got Ray Allen balling. I mean, these two dudes have gotten the Fountain of Youth back.
Hey, and let's give Chris Bosh some credit because his 18 was a strong 18, dunking hard on cats, hitting clutch shots. Bosh was amazing, I thought, last night. I really was impressed with him,
and
too.
And Bosh is a tough matchup for San Antonio, right? If they go Splitter, he takes him outside. Duncan, he takes him outside. If they're too small, he goes inside. He's one of the matchup nightmares for San Antonio right now.
Oh, I agree. I think Bosh doesn't get enough credit. I mean, Bosh was instrumental in getting those two rings already. I think that he doesn't get enough credit because he doesn't have this. You know, he doesn't have the flash that, and plus he's not a ball handler. So he can't really, he has to get it, the ball has to get given to him to even make his move. But, yeah, they need
and
that.
He sacrificed the most of his game. We've talked about it on our show before. He was pretty dominant in Toronto and took that team basically by himself to the playoffs. So he sacrificed a lot. So, you know. Thanks for calling, man. Listen, we got to jump to this World Cup. So who you got tomorrow night? Spurs, Heat, who you taking?
I think it's going to go back to back. I think Spurs are going to win. Heat will win the next game after that. It's going to come to a game seven to me.
All right.
I hope so. As a basketball fan, whatever happens, more basketball is better, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
More hoops.
All right,
more
brothers. I'll talk to you later.
All right, man. Talk to you Friday.
Thanks
for the call. All right,
Thanks, man.
All right.
Well, everybody that's in Brazil, America's there now. It starts Thursday. I guess where we need to start is in Group A. I guess real quick, I mean, we know some of the stars, Neymar for Brazil, Portugal, you know, you got Messi, you got Ronaldo. Give me Group A. Who's coming out of Group A? Brazil?
Yeah, I got to like Brazil in Group A. I think Brazil goes pretty deep. We'll talk about our predictions. But, yeah, I think Brazil in Group A. And fight for that second spot in Group A is interesting.
Between Mexico and Croatia.
Yeah, Mexico and Croatia. I actually think Croatia is going to come out of there. I like Brazil and Croatia in A.
Okay. And then, I would agree. I actually have Mexico and Brazil. Group B, pretty strong. Spain, the Netherlands is pretty good, pretty strong team. Chile and Australia. I mean, obviously, most folks have Spain going really far, maybe even taking it. I've got Spain coming out of there, and maybe the Netherlands. I think the Netherlands are pretty tough.
Yeah, they're a perennial powerhouse. They usually get stopped in the quarterfinals, sometimes in the semis. It's kind of funny because they got their orange crush going on. But, yeah, I like Spain and Holland coming out of that Group B.
And then Group C. Now, Colombia's got a major injury, but I still think they have enough talent to come out of there. And then I think I'm going to go with the Ivory Coast, who's got some pretty strong players. I'll take them over Greece.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going for a little upset. I'm going for Japan. I'm going for Colombia and Japan coming out of Group C. Yeah, man. Represent Asia.
I'm not mad at you. Group D, Uruguay. I think they're underrated. They could be a sleeper, dangerous team.
Well, if Suarez is hurt, they're not long for getting out of first round. But if he can play, I mean, he had that quick knee surgery, so I hope he's good. If he's good, because they're neighboring to Brazil, right? So it's almost home field for them. I mean, until they beat Brazil or Argentina. But, yeah, they're
And then you have Costa Rica, England, and Italy. I would think England, but actually I'll go Uruguay, Italy.
Okay, I'm going Uruguay, England. I think Italy's the odd man out there.
I think Italy likes to pull a little upset for some reason. And Group E, Switzerland, Ecuador, France. Who are you feeling?
And Honduras. Don't forget Honduras, man.
Nah, won't forget Honduras. Won't forget Honduras.
I think I'm going with Ecuador and France in that one. I think the Swiss are okay. I think they'll win a game, maybe tie a couple, but I like France and Ecuador to advance.
Yeah, I got to go with France, and actually I'm going to go with France and Switzerland. I think Switzerland might be ready for something, but France is pretty good. Group F, this is a strong one. You got Argentina there. What do you like in Group F?
Argentina, Bosnia, Iran, and Nigeria. So Argentina for sure. I think they win the group. It's
a weaker group to me.
It's between Bosnia and Nigeria, and I'm going to go with Nigeria. I think the African continent needs to be represented.
Yeah, and Argentina is definitely.
Yeah,
they're a
stud.
Group G.
So deep.
Break down Group G: Germany, Portugal, Ghana, and the United States of America.
Oh boy!
Definitely
so
Germany
for all
for
of
me.
Our U.S. fans out there, you know, I want the U.S. to represent.
You're picking who is this in Portugal? You go with Ronaldo there,
Cristiano Ronaldo? Yeah, I think so.
I know you are.
I actually think the U.S. Ghana has the U.S. number in the last two World Cups, so I think the U.S.
is actually
going to come in fourth. So I think Germany wins.
I got a U.S.
wins,
upset.
Germany wins and Portugal.
I say they tie Ghana
second
and they upset Portugal. I got Germany and the U.S. advancing, baby,
really?
From Group G.
Okay.
And then Group H, break it down. Who you got?
So you got Belgium, Algeria,
yeah.
Russia, and South Korea. So I'm actually going to represent Belgium and Russia in this group.
Me too.
I think Belgium wins the group. I think they're my dark horse, and Russia comes in second.
Yeah, definitely. So basically, I think we might have the same final four here. I guess the bigger question is, I mean, when it comes down to it, I've got Spain facing Argentina, and then over here on the other side, I've got Germany facing Brazil. I think do you have the same?
Yeah, I have Spain, Argentina, Germany, and Brazil. Yeah, those are my big four.
So the question is, Germany's got such a strong team. Can Neymar, who, you know, has struggled in other soccer play in other leagues but plays great for his country, do they have enough to sort of outlast and beat the Germany squad? I think they do. And then Spain, who's got probably the most talent, I would say five of the top 30 players are in Spain. Can Spain, you know, take out Argentina? And for some reason, I'm going to take Argentina to upset Spain. I
would love that. So you've
like
got
Messi.
A Brazil-Argentina final in South America, in Brazil.
Yes.
That would
yes.
be crazy. The world would just go crazy because it's
crazy,
the two neighboring
yeah.
countries, the South American.
And then I have Argentina taking it home.
Okay.
Setting Brazil.
So
yeah,
I have
Brazil beating
Germany in one semi. I just think the Brazilians are too creative that they'll find a way to score. Germany playing from behind is not going to be able to hang.
Right.
And on the other side, I actually have Spain giving Messi, because he plays in Spain, giving him all he can handle, making life difficult for little Lionel. And I think Spain's been the best team in international soccer for the past 8 years. So I like Spain again.
They're so talented,
so
yeah.
Spain beats Argentina, and then Spain goes out and beats Brazil in their home country. So I would love to see Brazil win it at home, but
I'm rioting.
Spain's got a little too much for them.
There's going to be some rioting. It's going to be great. I'm kind of jealous of those who are there. I would love to be at a World Cup. I got to say, that's a sporting event that in the future I've got to experience. So it's going to be great. It's on ESPN, ABC, ESPN2. We'll check it out Thursday. I think they start off Germany. I don't know who's playing. Maybe Belgium. I forgot who's playing on the first game. But it's going to be awesome.
It'll be great. A month of soccer. We'll bring you all the soccer on Ray and Tay today. We'll be talking about it, who gets out of the group of who gets to the group of 32, who gets to advance to 16 and 8, then, you know, the quarterfinals, that'll get real crazy.
I'm being a homer. Listen, I think Portugal will probably win, and actually Ghana's really talented too, but I just got to go with USA, man, to pull the upset and get out of the group of death. Probably one of the strongest groups. I think Argentina's got a break. They got a pretty weak group to me. And so I think it's pretty rough road for America, rough road.
That's all right. You gotta beat some good teams if you want to be considered the best.
So okay, so we both have the same Final Four. Pick one sleeper. Let's each pick one sleeper to sort of break what we both predicted.
So
who
I got a sleeper for you, Belgium. I think Belgium. They've got a little, you know, they've got an interesting little road. The only problem is that if they were to win their bracket, right, they'd go up against Germany, and Germany's a top four team. So we'll see. Actually, Germany would go against a Group H runner-up. I'm sorry. If they win their group, they would get, let's say, Portugal. They'd get the Group G runner-up. So I think that's a good matchup for them. If they were to win that, then they'd run into Argentina. But right now I like Belgium as my sleeper.
Okay, my sleeper, it's real simple. I got to say Uruguay. I like Uruguay. I think they're pretty talented, good goalkeeping, quick. That would be my upset special. And
okay.
America is already my one upset pick. overtaken Portugal. So good show. We'll be back Friday. Rangers hopefully can, you know, rekindle the series tonight. Tomorrow night, I'm taking the Heat. I don't think it goes 1-1-1. I think it's the Heat go home and extend 2-1.
Really? I'm going San Antonio. I think San Antonio wins the next one, and then the Heat win the next one, and then it comes on to game 5 in San Antonio.
All right. Should be fun. Ray and Tate today, talking sports with friends.
We're out.
See ya.
Thanks for joining.
Thanks. Hey, D. Fish, if you're coaching the Knicks, keep LeBron, baby. Make him stay.
Keep Carmelo.
Yeah, I mean, keep Carmelo. Let's sign
LeBron.
Please.
Younger brother, cause I've been around since people thought Dana, so like Rick were brothers, and my philosophy is to master step.